Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Let's now open our Bibles to Malachi. Malachi 3. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi 3 and go to verse 8. You say, are you still in the offering word? No, you'll connect. You're going to have to walk with me today. You're going to have to move with me today because we're going to end up somewhere very interesting that you're going to like. Amen. Glory to God. Are you there? Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So we top of the scripture there, if you don't give someone what belongs to them, it's called theft. Just saying. Now, it's not my message at all, but God made a covenant with his people, and he expected them to do their part. And he would provide if they would do what he told them to do. He would put the super on their natural. In fact, he didn't just put the super on their natural, but he just poured out rain on their land. He put the natural in right order, and they were blessed because they did the will of God. Now, we are New Testament believers. And so we don't earn things from God. We obey so that we can be on the right path, or we can do the will of God. We're not trying to earn. You don't pay your tithe so you can get a harvest. You give your tithe to God to honor him and to be obedient. It's a matter of obedience. There's still obedience in the grace message, church. And so we obey so that we can go in the right direction. It's the same way you would obey Siri when he's trying to tell you how to get to the Galleria, which should be a pretty straight shot, but praise the Lord. So tithing doesn't put us in acceptance with our Father. We already have acceptance. He loves us, but it does put us on the right path or keep us in the right place. So we're engaged in kingdom finances by tithing. We're doing business with the kingdom. We're connecting with the kingdom. Now, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things. It says there in Matthew 6 that you can't serve God and mammon. Well, but you're talking about money. Yeah, well, let me clear that up, what I'm saying about this, actually. You can't serve a personal wealth. You serve God, and your wealth is included in the package with him. So you're serving the kingdom of God, which includes wealth, health, all sorts of things. But the point is you don't serve money. It serves you. It serves the kingdom. So when I'm talking about money, which, by the way, there's 200 scriptures about prayer. There are 2,000 scriptures about prosperity. Just in case you didn't know that and you were going to say, blam, 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 prosperity. No, I'm talking about real prosperity here, the God kind of prosperity, not just people having a bunch of money. But I will say this to you, if you put your money in a money market or in a savings account, you're going to get some interest. If you put your money in the kingdom, you're going to get what's offered by the Kingdom Bank, which is going to be also an insurance policy if you're a tither. Protection, promotion, overflow, favor, and divine appointments. That's what you're getting, because your money is really you. It's your time. You have to connect these things, church. So now I want to call your attention to the words windows of heaven. God said to Israel that he would open the windows when they gave tithes and offerings. And we know something about this. We understand it, that it's different for us. First of all, he's talking about the rain falling, and rain is true provision, but we also understand that the Old Testament is a spiritual picture for us. So Malachi is actually a spiritual picture for us. And so these windows, the windows of heaven, we see not just as clouds opening up, giving rain, but the realm of God, the realm of God. And the dimension of the kingdom that are already open. Okay, now stay with me, because I would like to suggest to you, if you can get this picture, that there is another heavenly window, and it moved inside of you. Okay, now if you'll walk with me, you'll see what I mean by that. God has pronounced the blessing on his people, am I right? So Jesus, you know, the blessing came in the first chapter, the very first chapter in Genesis. And then the enemy stole, but Jesus got it back, right? So as children, we live with an anointing to prosper on our lives. But I think you can see that not all Christians are prospering. I think you can see that they're not automatically flowing in the blessing. It doesn't seem to be automatic. We know that it could be because they don't have the revelation of what blessing means, that it's not something you say at the dinner table, that it actually means empowered to prosper. It's an empowerment that God conferred on Adam, right? The blessing, we understand that, but there are worlds of Christians that don't even know that. Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. And then, of course, we know that there are denominations that believe that poverty is the key to godly living. And then we also know that there are the greedy, who, those are the ones that say that preacher's just trying to get money out of me, meaning they're going to blame me and all other preachers that try to get you some finances. They're going to blame me and say, you know, I'm a charlatan trying to get money, la, 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 when that's the furthest thing from the truth. I'd have picked a different field. I'm going to leave that alone. Praise the Lord. So, but what we see here is that people don't realize that. When they say things like this, I'll add one more thing to it because I just feel like a thing too. When they say, oh, I can't believe they bought that with that money. What I could have done with that money. Mm-hmm. They want your money. They're coveting your tool that you bought to use for the gospel. Okay. Just wanted you to get that picture. Now, so don't get caught up in that, church. We run with people who love God and do their very best to do what's right, do it right because it's right. But you need to be blessed. Now, other things. But what we can see is this. It doesn't seem to be automatic now that prosperity just flows because you got born again. Oh, I got born again yesterday. Zippity-doo-dah, here, everything's starting to work right. Doesn't seem to work that way. And I would say that the major victory would be that you get a revelation and start using your faith. Amen. And understanding, yes, God wants to provide for me. I'm going to be involved with him because I love him and I want to see people get saved. I want to see them get delivered. I want to see the people in the church sit in a good building, et cetera, et cetera, because of the love that's in your heart. But then you would also say, I do want to give so that I can have a harvest, because according to three different gospels, Jesus said that we sow so that we can reap. Okay, now, You reap so that you can become 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to provide every blessing in abundance that you may always have enough of everything and provide in abundance for every good work. I want to provide in abundance for every good work that the Lord leads me to provide. I think I'm going to drop my last name and start calling myself Roxanne Shaddai.
Amen.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. I would just receive from Father and get to deliver it out. Amen. Now, so you get that revelation and then you continue to have encounters of favor and harvest and manifestations and healings and such. And we must once again understand revelation takes you halfway there. Then you have to experience something, right? That's when understanding begins to take place. Now, the tragedy of all this, I want to say this to you one more time. If you don't move into the experience, the revelation remains locked in your mind. So you think it's active in your life, but it's really not active in your life. You have to have these encounters. You have to experience. You'll have to use your faith and get a manifestation, enjoy the manifestation, thank God for the manifestation, thank God for remember the Lord your God, for it's He who did it for you, and then you have gained some understanding because you had some experience with it, and then you can move on to the next one. But if you don't, if you go, well, I go to a faith church, so I heard Pastor Roxanne say, I confess that I have this or I have that, and so that's what I'm going to do. It's not going to help you. Well, I'm healed. Well, are you having that encounter with God? Are you feeding yourself word, enough word to drive the doubt out? Which it may take 6 months for some people to drive the doubt out that's been in there for 30 years. But you move forward in the whole package. You begin to get the revelation, and then you get it. You have encounters. Amen. Now, I needed to say that because experience will lead you all the way in. When we're doing this, so where I wanted to get to this is this: I agree with Dr. Savelle that there are blessing blockers. Now, I'm thinking there are some grace people that don't like that because they think everything is already cleared out for them. Well, how's that working for you? Because it's grace is the empowerment to do. Mercy forgives. Mercy's wonderful, but grace is more than that. Yes, we're saved by grace. Everything happens by grace. Do you actually have an empowerment if you'll choose it to do these things? So I'm not getting off grace. I'm just telling you, a lot of people say, well, you don't do, you know, in grace, you just don't do anything. If that widow would have been in grace, she wouldn't have had to go out and get the vessels to fill the oil up with. That's what they say. But that's a lie. She obeyed in faith. She was making room. She was having corresponding action to what the prophet told her. So she was having an encounter. She didn't totally get it when he said that. She's like, okay, this is a prophet. Something's going to happen. I've got that much, so I'll do this, and they fill up. But it's pretty cuckoo just to say, well, we wouldn't even have to do that. That is just not right. You're going to have to move. I mean, you could be starving and need some water and be dying of thirst, and you can't just say, I believe if I drink this water, I will not die. And then you can sing it, I believe if I drink this water, I will not die. And you can start going on it and really, yeah, and I believe. But if you don't drink the water, you're going to die. God gave you the grace to believe it and then confess it and then do it. Pick it up and drink it. Hey, praise the Lord. Okay, Let's move on. So, because I haven't even got to the point yet here. I'm not talking about legalism, church. So stay with me. So now let's keep the windows of heaven. Walk with me to the next frame here. In you right now, you have men who you right now. And so you're not going to tap on the window of heaven to order what you want. This is not Taco Bell. Okay? According to this verse, God already put everything in an account for you. And it's open. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So it's in there, waiting for you to make a demand on it. Okay? Now, Romans 8:32, just in case you need to know about things, I'm going to tell you, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, church, the word things here in the Greek is things.
There you go.
And if you need to know, if you want to go back to Hebrew, not just Greek, thing and word are the same. Devar, they're the same. So if you say a word, you can get the thing. We'll see that in a minute. So, everything is stored up. It's just light speed up. Hector got it. Thank you. And you can make a demand on that window. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Is your window open? Because God's window's already open. Well, Pastor, we've been bombarding the windows of heaven. And we felt today that maybe we made a slight... The windows of heaven have been open since Jesus resurrected. Actually, they opened at the cross.
Yeah.
And boom. The windows of heaven are open, church. That veil ripped in half. When that's just a representation that the glory of God and the manifestation of God's Spirit poured out into the earth, along with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The windows of heaven are already open. So... if you sow, you expect a plant to come up and produce, do you? So if you tithe into the kingdom account, you expect your insurance policy to work. This broke. I'm a tither. It gets fixed. And you expect your interest, hundredfold return, kingdom rates, etc. So God gives you your part to do, so you will expect. He did that for you.
Right.
He gave you a part to do. Brother Hagin said that God is somewhat of a checker player. He moves, you move, he moves. Right? Thank you, Lord. So he moved. He's given you all these things. You move, and then he moves. Praise the Lord. So now the word said the windows of heaven were open, not window. Windows are openings. Now, I want you to think beyond money or finances, because we're talking about true prosperity. True prosperity is taking God's ability. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to take God's ability and bless mankind. True prosperity isn't just Franklin's. True prosperity is an anointing on your life, is a smile on your face, is a gift of the Spirit released on people. It's a cleaning crew that comes and cleans the church for you. You're prosperous when you have a superpower for God, like Danny's superpower, paperwork. I'm glad she's on the Marvel team. Whatever they are, I don't even know what they are. Praise the Lord. Okay, so every day, in case you don't know this, for every one of you, I pray a prayer. Every day I pray that you have gates of access to doors of opportunity. over every one of you. I pray that over you every day, that you'll have gates of access, that you'll move through an opening into the next opening, okay? That the windows are open for you, okay? I think it's in my other Bible, but I've locked it in somewhere. Yeah, I even put it in my other Bible, the prayer that I pray for you. But I do know it by heart, but it's in here too, in my other Bible. But in the old days, and Ronnie, Mata's not here, but it was me and you and Deb and Mata and Pat Gum. We were in Washington, D.C., and we went out to a place to look at a property that belonged, I think, was it Lincoln or somebody? Lincoln's Summer House. Okay. Lincoln's Summer House had that porch around it, you know, those cool porches, which I've lived in a house like that. The windows go to the floor. And so they open all the windows. They walk through the window to go outside. Have many of you been around long enough to see those kind of homes, those plantation homes, where you don't have to just go to the door, you can walk right through the window. So you can open all your windows. Right, okay. I'm going somewhere. In fact, listen, the Reverend Mother told Maria that when a door closed somewhere, a window, God would open a window somewhere else. Time out. Maria, meaning the Sound of Music, the Reverend Mother, she had just had to leave being the nanny for the kids, and she was upset about it. And so Reverend Mother said, that's okay, a window will open somewhere else. That's right. Praise the Lord. I think Alexander Graham Bell actually was the one who made that quote, if you want to know. Go look it up. I think it's him. Somebody like him. Anyway, if a door closes, there's going to be a window open somewhere. And don't get on the doctrine of doors where if the door didn't open, it wasn't God. You may kick down a door by the glory of God sometimes. Don't get off on that stuff. The windows are open for you. If a door closes, walk through the window and go right there in front of the door. You'll be all right. You know, but you're never going to use your faith if you believe that God's doing that. Yeah. Find out first if you're supposed to go to that door. And then you won't have any problem, because you can't use your faith if the door slams and then you go, okay, it didn't open. No, so don't go there. But I'm telling you, the windows of heaven are open, and your window of heaven can be open. Your doors can be open. You can have gates of access. The Apostle Paul had an effective door open for ministry. There are doors and there are windows. There are openings, listen to me, for opportunity. There are doors of opportunity today. Doors of opportunity. Amen. On every level. Yes, advancement, but not just personal stuff. Advancement in the kingdom of God. Divine appointments are opening. Somebody can get saved today. Somebody can get healed today because you pray for them. Somebody can get delivered today. Somebody can have a change of heart today because of what you said, what you prayed, what you did. There's an opening. You're going to meet somebody. Remember what I told you? If you're having a change in your life, you spy out the land and you what? Get to the divine appointments. That's what you do. You find your divine appointments. Thank you, Jesus. You're always looking for those divine appointments. You don't force those, but you follow the Lord into those things. It may be the littlest thing that you say to someone. You may not realize how much favor you actually live off of, and sometimes by association. I have great favor at Kubota. Yeah, Salem's jewelry too. Some of my stuff's down there. But I have great favor at Kubota. You want to know why? Because the guy that works there loves Larry. And he's really big. He really admires Larry, and he knows that Larry and I are covenant friends in life. And so I'm living off that favor right there. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, well, if Larry goes to your church, it must be a pretty good church. That's the idea, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And thank you, Larry, for being a man of God. Thank you, Jesus. So opportunities. There are opportunities that are going to bring such an overflow. There was one here this morning. We took the opportunity, and Jesse said it perfectly. They didn't have practice. They had worship before worship. Which is interesting, because I was sitting there thinking, man, they should never practice again on Sunday morning. They should just worship. They should do all their practice on the Wednesday. Learn all the new songs on the Wednesday. And just don't even call it practice anymore. Just call it, we're gonna worship before we worship. Because the door of opportunity opened this morning. It changed the atmosphere in here. Changed everything. We started moving into the glory realm this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Well, why do we need to? Why do we need to? Well, I'll get to that. Let me just say this to you, church. Welcome to the window. Enter the window, and this is what we're going into. I'm prophesying to you right now. You can take it or not take it. Welcome to the window of overflow. We are in overflow. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God know when the cup is full? He does. Sure does. But it's his nature to overflow. He always does more than enough. He's called the God of more than enough. El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. That's just too much. That's just too much. I am the grandmother of more than enough. The birthday request just came. It was something. And it has been fulfilled. But I'm telling you, God is a God of overflow. This, Kevin and Liz, you're stepping into an overflow like you've never had before. There's an overflow. There's an overflow for us right now. An overflow of glory. An overflow of glory. In Jesus' name. I want you to get that as you move into it. Now, you're never going to have to say again, I wonder if I'll have enough. You don't ever need to say that again. In the 90s, I remember that during ministry times, the anointing would get so strong on people that they had to disperse or diffuse the power. We'd be in meetings and they'd actually get people to grab hands and they'd grab their hand and everybody'd go down, you know. But they had there was so much overflow on the power of God that if they were going to stand to minister, they had to let some of it go. Y'all remember those days? Anybody remember those days? Praise the Lord. Well, that's what we're into right now. That's what we're into. That's overflow. Now, the glory. The heavy, weighty presence of God. It's his goodness in a very heavy manifestation. This is what's going to bring on and is bringing on right now the third great awakening. And this is what's going to change America. Because what America needs is an awakening to God. That may take me all day to go that way. I better steer back. Okay. Now, that is a realm. The glory is also a realm. It's heaven on earth, so to speak. Let me ask you something. Have you been in a service where those who just are getting blessed and getting touched and the Spirit of God is moving, and then there are those who are just sitting and watching and they don't personally sense a thing? Now, you're not judging them, but you just notice they're kind of like going, yeah. Or, you know, you don't really know what's going on with them, but it doesn't seem like they're being moved too much. You know, we're all playing in the river and they're sitting on the bank. They're not even ankle deep. They're not even going. They're just. Have you been in a meeting like that? Remember 2 Kings 7. Go over there. 2 Kings 7, and we'll just read this one. The prophet came to town. They had been in a serious famine, so much that they were eating dung. There was a siege on them. They were locked up and didn't know what to do. The forces of Syria all around them. And he came in and he prophesied that the famine would be gone and that it would turn around in a day. He said, within 24 hours, this thing's going to turn around. You remember that, Sharon? It's just going to turn around. And there's this one guy, they called him a lord. He was like a captain that stood in a specific position. And so he made a comment that he couldn't believe that would happen. So in verse 19 there, you see, and the Lord answered the man of God. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, that Lord, not the Lord, okay? That Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. So the prophet came out, said, this is going to turn around in a day. And he makes this comment, even if God made windows in heaven, this couldn't change. Just that flesh, you know. So he didn't participate in the recovery or the overflow. He didn't participate in the recovery or the overflow. So one window, though, this is the point I want to get to, one window didn't open by divine power to fall on all. No. Uh-uh. No. The Bible says, believe the prophets and you'll prosper. Okay? The rest of the people believed the prophet, obviously, because they didn't get crunched and die. And this is what I submit to you. They all opened their windows. They all just said, yep, I'm going to believe the prophet. I'm going to believe the word of God. Yeah. This thing's going to turn around in a day. Amen. Now imagine that if the whole church but one, I'd hate to be that one, believed that we were in the overflow and said, I'm opening my window. I'm just going to believe we're in the overflow. Yeah. I'll say get out of the way and get into the flow. Because you want to participate in the recovery and the overflow. I'm prophesying to you in case you haven't figured that out. So their windows were open. And what I'm trying to say to you is that we have a divine opportunity right now. A divine opportunity right now. Many opportunities are going to present themselves, church. Many opportunities. Those of you that are listening online, many opportunities. Church in here, many opportunities are going to show up right in front of you. Your window is open right now, and you're going to be able, don't look at the closed doors, walk through the window. Amen. You have gates of access to doors of opportunity, or windows, if you will. Access so you can go through. And then you're going to understand this terminology that I'm going to say to you right now. When opportunity presents itself. When opportunity presents itself. In 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, Saul had lost his donkeys, and he meets up with Samuel the prophet. And Samuel anoints Saul. I'm going to read it to you. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" So right now he's getting anointed for a new place. And so are you. "When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou went out to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrow for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'" So he gets anointed, and they find Minnie Pearl. And Porter Wagner, the two donkeys that are out there. Minnie Pearl and Porter Wagner. That's what the donkey's names right now. Sorry. Because he's anointed. And now things are changing. He's getting another window here. Opportunity's presenting itself. I'm not going to sing that song. No. Okay. Now, then you will go forward, moving forward from thence, and you will come to the plain of Tabor. And there you'll meet three men who are going up to Bethel, one of them carrying three kids. Those are donkeys. It's not going to be children. Another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine, and they'll salute you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. Now here comes some increase. Amen. He's increased. He's got some recovery going. Now he's coming into increase. "After that, thou shalt come to the hill of the Lord where there's a garrison of Philistines, and it shall come to pass." So coming up to a place where it looks like there might be a wall, but funny, interesting enough, here comes a company of prophets. Comes a company of prophets. Praise the Lord. "And it shall come to pass when thou art thither to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, and they have a guitar and some drums. And some, name all the gifts, tabret, pipe, harp, all that. They have it, and they're worshiping God. So they're prophesying, the worship team leading the way. Okay? And it's a bunch of prophets. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and you'll prophesy with them, and you'll be turned into a different man." Ah. "And let it be that when these signs are come upon thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee. For God is with thee." So the anointing came. Here came recovery, restoration. Here came progress, favor, increase, and a change of status and position. He changed into another man. The old man bowed down to the new man. I'm not going to be that person anymore. I'm rising up into this new place. I'm going to rise up into a new place. I'm not going to be who I used to be. I'm going to arise and shine, for my light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me, and I'm going to move into a new place because God said I could, because God is with me, and the prophet said it would happen. And then it said this, an opportunity or occasion will serve thee. Come on, somebody. It's about time that some, Mildred, it's about time that some occasion serve us. That opportunity serve us. Mac, opportunity's going to serve you. You want to see all your servants? They're opportunities. They're possibilities. They look impossible, but they're not. Because you have an open window. Thank you, Jesus. Restoration, progress, favor, increase, change of status and position, and opportunities serving you. Because you're anointed. on a level that the world is not familiar with. And most every one of you, this may be a new taste for some of you. Maybe you don't know that. But most every one of you that I'm talking to right now, most of you that you're friends of the ministry out there, your partners of the ministry, most of you have all experienced that you have had an opportunity that you knew absolutely was God. It was a divine appointment. Am I right, Rhonda? It was a divine appointment that you didn't know what would happen. You couldn't see how it could possibly happen. But it happened. And why did it happen? Because opportunity is serving you. Because you believe the prophet and the windows open. You opened your window. God's window is open. Doesn't matter what doors were shut. You're going through the window that is all the way down to the porch. That's what you're doing. I'm prophesying to you. This is that time. You're like, well, you know, COVID and Democratic stuff, and I don't know if I like all that, and then the Republicans, and then the president. Hey, kingdom of God. Promised land. That's going to override everything else that's going on. No, we don't like a lot of the stuff, but I'm telling you, we live in a higher realm. And it works for us. The natural will work for us if we'll come from a place of the supernatural and quit just believing a report.
Yeah.
Well, they said I'll never make it. Well, whose report will you believe? Well, they say that we're going to have this pandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, until who knows when. Well, that's interesting. I just read yesterday that all the cases are falling off in Michigan, in New Jersey. They're all, I mean, they're falling off all over the place. And they're going, huh? How are we ever going to get out of it? How will we ever pay our taxes? Well, you know, here comes the tax master. Hey, you made it in some years before. You'll make it again. The great awakening is here.
Yes, that's right.
Church, I feel, listen, I'm a fighter when it comes to our country. It is true. But you can't fight from the flesh.
Right.
Can't fight. We need to be who we are, so built up in who we are with our authority that we don't get mad at every little thing and fuss at every little thing and fight at every, be sarcastic at every little thing and listen to every little thing, but we listen to the word. God's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. And the Lord began to steer me and say, you know, you just make sure your flock are built up and have what they need, and they're going to do just fine. And but they're not just going to survive. They're going to thrive and move into all that God has for them and prove that we are not stuck in Egypt. We're living in the promised land. And that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like leaven. When a woman and put it, she went in and she put it in a little bit of the flour and it spread. Yeah, you're going to spread. When the anointing comes on you, when you open the window and you get the anointing with everyone else who's worshiping God and glorifying God, the glory is going to manifest and you're going to walk out with a change. You're going to have some boldness like you've never had before. You're going to have a favor target on your back. People are going to start choosing you. The power to change people's lives is on you like never before. You just give them a handshake and they sense something different about you. You just give them a smile and they start thinking something different about. They start, hey, when the glory fell in Azusa Street, people immediately started going, I don't want this. I don't need this. I don't need to behave like this. Well, you're the glory going somewhere to happen. Church, we're not looking at life like this, and neither does God. We're going after a bunch of sinners and make them change their lives. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about things that hurt people. And that's what sin really is. It's not the habits that you have fun with. That's what people think. Well, they're gonna take away my fun if I get saved. Are you kidding? I've had more fun than ever.
Oh, yeah.
I was miserable when I had a lot of habits.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you something, that God loves people.
Yes.
And you're that touch.
Yeah.
But if the first thing you do when you meet your client is start complaining with them, you're shutting that window because it'll block it.
Yeah.
You don't get on their page. They get on yours. Amen. You receive this today? Father, we thank you for the anointing today. We thank you for the word today. We thank you, Lord, that we will accept the prophetic word, that we are going to go into places of glory. We thank you, Lord, that we are not going to stand back and try to keep the glory at bay. I thank you, Lord. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I'll preach this a little bit longer. You can try to push that glory back because you could get embarrassed or your pride could get hurt. But I'm telling you, the awakening that we're going into, you're not going to stand a chance, because when a flood comes, barriers break through.
That's right.
You better run and run hard. Your windows are going to open whether you wanted them to. You'll want them to. So what I'm trying to tell you, that the glory is not a blessing club.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting in the presence of God so we can go, wow, we had some good church.
Come on.
Not what we're doing.
Nope.
It changes us. It restores. It brings progress. It brings favor. It brings increase.
Mm-hmm.
It changes you into a different person. Occasion will serve you. Those opportunities will keep coming. Blind bar made us perceive there was an opportunity walking down the road.
Yep.
He did. He opened the window. He received. Blindness left him. Apostle Paul perceived that there was an anointing to go out and win people by preaching and teaching and healing. And he went through that place. He took that door of opportunity, window of opportunity, whatever you want to say. Goes both ways. God's there for you, and he gives you the power and the anointing to be there for others. It's not just about us. You're going to be there for other people. In every aspect of life, spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, socially, everything that you need. When you drive up to Starbucks, you open your window and make your order. Then you move ahead and they open their window.
Yeah.
Then you open your window and put your hand out and they give you what they want. You give them what they want. It's the same principle right here. You are encountering God with open windows. You're not going to let your soul shut down. You're not going to let the gates of hell prevail. You order, you give, it's given to you. Sometimes you go through that line and they tell you you don't owe anything. And I've had people, the last time I went through there, someone, I think it was us four, someone in front paid for us, never even knew who it was. Didn't recognize the car, it was none of y'all. Unless y'all got a new car or something, I didn't know it. But, nope. Thank you, Jesus. Open your window, church, because in the next 24 hours, there could be a run on exactly what you need and exactly what you want and exactly what you need to give to other people. Open your windows.